Priya and or 101, do you believe in these stories there in the Krishna book? Krishna jumping there in the river and fighting with the many-headed Kaliya serpent and lifting a mountain and all of that. Was Krishna even here on earth doing any of that 5,000 years ago or whatever? Or is this just a story made up by the wise to tell us something about God and allegorical and all that? And I know some, you know, some, they may have such doubts, harboring hidden doubts, and others will say, no, how can you even suggest that? You're an offender. But really, we are supposed to, yeah, to get real about this, aren't we? And our own, how do you feel? What do you believe? What are you convinced about? So I would say my understanding, whether right or wrong, that whether, whatever you believe, that Krishna was here and is God and did all those things that you find there, or that this is a story to tell us something about God, that latter is, of course, the most important for us. This story is here to tell us something, and it's about our relationships with God, that they can be of different kinds. This rasa that we find there, I really find that completely logical, I would say, but also very beautiful and very deep. That yes, God is not just someone up there, very, very big and wanting to relate to us as very, very big, and then we very, very small, but there is love. And that makes completely sense too, and did so once I started thinking about it, that God loves us makes sense, and then that we also would love God once we start to become aware of the presence and existence of God. And in all of those, you could say, ramifications or results of accepting the presence and existence of God at all, which then I had to do when I was like 21, 22, with all the logic and reason I could muster, so to speak, and came to that conclusion, yeah, there must be a God, a creator, there's an artist behind all this. It's beautiful. And where did this existence come from? Otherwise, I mean, reductionistic and all that, it should all come from some emptiness that exploded, you know, something like very absurd it becomes. So yeah, that's the way my scientific journey went back then. But back here, here is Krishna with Kaliya serpent. I'm just watching it, and Mahabharat series from India. That yes, as it is explained, that this world is a dreamy world of illusion where we can enter and play on stage, or a big virtual game that we can enter into with our avatars and play different roles and try this, try that. It's part of our freedom and our creative ability, since we are little parts of God who is free and can create everything he can dream of and desire. Makes sense. And then, of course, then some see this world as useless. It's just evil, bad, dark, corner of the world. But then why is there an evil, bad, dark corner of the beautiful Vaikuntha spiritual sky? I mean, something weird there, right? So I would say that from that point of view, it's not bad, it's not dark. It's, again, it's like a kind of amusement park or something. It's a place that we basically create, of course. The Purusha Mahavishnu has to create it, the park, so to speak, and then we can get in there and play our roles. Because it's a pretty big theater stage there, which I guess you need to be God to create in the first place. So this is all there in the cosmology of the Srimad Bhagavatam and so on. But then, why is it there? I mean, it's explained that God then, Mahavishnu, enters into that as a pastime, and of course, then he appears as Krishna, little boy in Vrindavan, playing with his friends and his family, in a family of cowherds, of farmers. Simple, I mean, the simplest, you could say, base platform of existence on earth to grow your food and like that to sustain your material body. But in its humility, it's pastoral, it's near to nature, it's the Mother Earth, Mother Nature is there, it's beautiful. It's very close to, I mean, I would say mode of goodness, of course it is, but very close to reality in a way. So, and there, what's special about this world, this material world that we are in, this earthly world where you find this Vrindavan, the God appears in personally, is that here you have these, first of all, it's like this theater stage. So although it's a dreamy, unreal world of Maya, it is that. It is a theater stage where you can enter and play all kinds of wild things, crazy things even. There is no, how to say, even not a demand that it has to be real. That's what theaters are, right? They don't have to be real. They are not real, and that's the fun of them. And therefore, it's quite logical to me that, yes, why wouldn't God sometimes, maybe more than we think, that's how it is stated in the Bhagavatam, enter into this stage and play around here with this specific rasa, this specific moods that we find here, and tastes. It's fun. So yeah. And then this humble earthly life in a village there, Vrindavan, with friends and parents and all. I mean, it's beautiful, isn't it? It tells a lot, actually, about what real good and pure and, you know, loving life is about. Not big, fantastic palaces and great temples and all of that, heavenly power and prosperity and abundance. But that natural, simple abundance of just being close to Mother Nature and Father God, and they have Radha Krishna walking around as your friends. So I would say this is the reality of that we meet here in these stories of Srimad Bhagavatam, for instance, in the Mahabharata. And whether it happened there in that place in India so many thousand years ago or another amount of years ago, it's not really the important thing here. Of course, if you ask me if I believe that it happened there 5,000 years ago or whatever, yeah, I do. But it could have happened anywhere, anytime. And be described in the book. The time and place is not the important thing. That's what I'm trying to say here. But it's the personality of God, of Godhead there, doing these things and being in those moods and these relationships we can have to God and that we do have to God. Once we just wake up from forgetting God at all, then that's what matters. We are what matters in our relationship with God, because that's reality, that's what exists, we. Hmm.